You know, we have to have ice cream. So it's in this week's parsha. If you do Schneimaker with Unglis, you'll see that the translation for man is glida, ice cream. Glida with an aleph, an Aramaic, but nonetheless, big in to have ice cream this week. All right, so I was thinking we'll start off with the gewaldig pshat that Rabbi Foreman comes down with, and then end off with a nice practical word of advice, a nice little vort, which I think is all around the same central theme of how do we deal with difficult situations in life, because it's a cold and maybe tough time for some of us, and we got to know what does the Torah have to teach us about that. So right after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the women start singing, right? There can be miracles. All sorts of good stuff. I try to sing it every Azashir when I'm talking. And you think I'm kidding? Every Seder we always sing the whole Negin. I know it by heart.
Sorry,
you guys should come home. So after the guys are singing, the girls say, "We want to sing too." And Miriam makes a girl circle, gets some drums, vatikach. Miriam, let me just find it. Vatikach Miriam and Nevia, achot Aaron, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, takes atof biada, and vateitzina kol anashim acharei b'tupim u'mcholot, and they make their own dance. And the question is twofold. One, why? The guys all sang and danced. What? They couldn't just sing and dance with the guys and like join in with them. They had to be feminists. They had to make their own circle. You know, is Miriam the first feminist singer girl? What's going on? Why do they need to separate? Okay, that's the first question. Second question is the lashon of the pasuk is very strange. It's Miriam and Nevi'ah, Miriam the prophetess. Okay, interesting. Why do we need to know that she's a prophetess? Achot Aharon, the sister of Aaron. She was also the sister of
Moshe.
So why do we leave out, why Dafka the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe? You hear the kashya? So first of all, an interesting answer I heard from Rav Weinberg, Rav Davidel's brother last night, awesome answer. He says, you know how there's an idea that the women didn't partake in Chet Egel, only the men. The women refrained. Why is that? Because the women danced at Kriyas Yamsuf. The men, not necessarily did everyone join in. In other words, the women got out that energy of dancing and they used it to serve Hashem. The men still needed to get that energy out, and that's why they ended up channeling it in the wrong way. So it's a really, really deep point in terms of Avodat Hashem. Like, we are human beings, we have certain desires, and we need to get them out. But we can either do it in a Torah Dika way, we can dance like crazy at Kabbalat Shabbat at the Kotel, or we can dance like crazy at a club. Everyone wants to dance, but the Torah like allows us to channel it towards the right direction. So I just thought that was a really, really gewaldig vort. But in any case, so what about the Achot Aaron and the Nevi'ah? So says the Midrash, Rabbi Foreman points out, that she was a prophetess, and she was a prophetess at a time when she was only the sister of Aaron and not the sister yet of Moshe. What prophecy are we referring to? So right back at when there was the decree in chapter 2 of Shemot, Paro said, no more boys, we're going to throw them all in the river. And the Midrash says, what did Yocheved and Amram decide to do at that point? They were going to separate. But then who, because why should we bring more children into the world? They're just going to get killed. And then who brought them back and told them, no, you have to get married, you have to keep having children? Miriam, because Miriam had a prophecy. She had a vision. She said, no, I know you're going to have a child and he is going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And she tells them, says the Midrash, that they come back together and they have a child. And now this is pshat. Watch this. Let's move back to Shemot Perek Bet. So months passed. Miriam should no longer hide her. And they hide it, and the mother cannot bear to see her child be killed. So she puts him in the river by the water, by the suf. And most of us probably couldn't watch. We would just give up because they're going to take our baby and kill them, chas v'shalom. But who decides to not give up and to keep on pushing and to keep on dreaming? Miriam, v'tetatzev achoto, and Miriam, his sister, looks merachok l'de'a ma yasalo. She doesn't want to give up. She keeps watching to see what's going to happen. And then what ends up happening? Bat Paro comes to check out what's going to be. And this is really bad news. It's like, Lolin, imagine it was like Hitler's daughter was coming and she saw a Jewish baby. It would be like the worst possible person. But then what ends up happening? She has mercy. And Vatomer Achoto El Bat Paro, and Achoto, the sister, speaks up. Maybe you want to call to a Hebrew woman, and just as this Bat Paro, maybe she's in this state of hitlab tut, of not sure, maybe should I keep him, should I not, what's my dad going to say? Miriam steps in, makes an awesome suggestion, and Bat Paro goes with it, and it ends up saving little Moshe's life. So because she wouldn't give up during those dark times, because she stood with it, she would not go into the yeush, in shum yeush. As Zusha says again, getting back to Zusha, so she ended up saving the Jewish people because of her faith. Now go fast forward a few prakim later. Am Yisrael are in trouble. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them as they're looking at Yam Suf and the Egyptians are about to swarm upon them? He says this. Let me find it. Where is it? Okay, you'll trust me. We'll find it soon. He says, stay here. Vatetatsev. Oh. Vayomer Moshe la'am, al tir'u hityatzvu. Stand u'u et Yeshuat Adonai, asher yaseh lachem hayom, ki yashitem asher yitem et Mitzrayim hayom, lo tosif le'ratem od olam. Stand here, hityatzvu. What language does hityatzvu remind us of?
Miriam.
Vatetatsev achoto. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, let's do like Miriam. Just like she wouldn't give up on Yam Suf, we won't give up on Yam Suf. We won't give up during those Tarek times. We'll keep pushing it. And through that emunah, we're going to see the Yeshua of Hashem. And so it's not a coincidence that Miriam needs to go out and sing and dance, because Miriam is the one who represents this faith of, even during the darkest times, to keep pushing, to never give up, and to Bezrat Hashem see the Yeshuas of Hashem. So on a pshat level, beautiful, beautiful drasha, says Rabbi Foreman, the Torah is teaching us that we got to be like Miriam, we got to keep pushing even during the dark times. Now, how do we do that? What does it mean, keep pushing, on a practical level? So one etza, one practical advice. So right after Kriyas Yam Suf, the Yidden go back to being Yidden, and what's the first thing they do? They complain. The water is a little bitter, and they had a bitter taste in their mouth. And then Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get mad. He gets glad. What does he do after the Mayim is Marim? Vayitzach Hashem, Vayoreu Hashem eats. And God sends a tree, Vayishlach al Mayim, and he puts it in the water, Vayimteku Hamayim, and the water gets sweetened. So Derech HaRemez, got a shot in there, now a little Remez. The tree that we're talking about here, what is a tree very often referred to in Chumash, Eitz HaChaim, Eitz HaChaim. So what's the illusion? So the many sources say, there are going to be times in life when you're bitter, you're angry, your roommate was annoying to you, and you just lash out at him, and really it's because, you know, you're not learning well, and you're frustrated, and blah, 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 and you're not sure what college to go to. You have all this bitterness inside. And then everything stinks. Everything stinks. Everything's really bad. And what do we need to do? We need to go to the Torah. We need to take ourselves out of the mindset that we're in where everything stinks. Learn a little Torah. Get advice from someone who knows Torah. And when we look at it with new eyes from a Torah perspective, we'll realize it's not so bad. It's really not such a big deal. We can overcome this challenge. We just need to reframe our eyes and take that eitz, and we'll be able to see it, see the sweetness. One final vort, just to close off. So the Netivot Shalom, and again, all these, see it inside. Same time, Tim Shalom has some amazing, amazing pieces this week. He asked a classic Shaila. B'nai Yisrael sang Shira. They sang song in this week's Parsha. Chazal say that this is the first time that the Jewish people ever sang Shira. First time in Jewish history that we sang Shira. So he asked an obvious Shaila. Really? No one else ever sang Shira? Avram Avinu? Right? What about Adam Arishon? He says Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbat. So clearly people sang songs before Am Yisrael came and sang Shira in this week's Parsha. So what's the Midrash alluding to? He says the following idea. First of all, there's three levels of Shira. The Shira Tamoch, intellectually being happy. The Shira Talev, emotionally being happy. And then there's the highest level of Shira Tevarim, where your whole body is just feeling emotionally, intellectually, and just like completely immersed with Dveikus, the Kaddish Baruch. And of course, that's the ideal. That's the Shira that Am Yisrael were on, where they just couldn't hold themselves back after Kriyas Yam Suf. And they were just completely intellectually, emotionally, and just even every part of their body was mamish in the state of Dveikus and singing with Hashem. Should be Zocha to feel that. But how did they get that? How did they get to that place of true Shira? Only through the dark times of almost dying. All those other people, they sang, but they wasn't necessarily, you know, they weren't about to die. Right? Here, Bnei Yisrael, they mamish felt like they had thousands of Egyptians who were about to kill them. They were in the lowest, lowest, darkest place. And then they broke on through to the other side. And they ripped through that klipa. And then they could feel the sweetness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once again, it's that darkness, it's the klipa that will actually, at the end of the day, create the shir, create the song. So let's be zochet to daven for each other, to work with each other, to push through like Miriam, to get advice from our holy sages and from our holy Torah, change our perspective like the Torah teaches us about the tree. And Bezrat Hashem will be zochet to true song this Shabbos and every Shabbos Bezrat Hashem. Shreya.